joy indeed to bring you greetings from the Kibbe Street Church of Christ in Lima, Ohio. And we just count it a blessing to be a part of this 10th annual lectureship format. Appreciate so very much the work that has been done by the West Virginia School of Preaching and Brother Denver as he certainly directs this good work here. Our prayers are with you that God might bless you and bless you in a wonderful and gracious way. Appreciate the elders of this congregation and their stand for the cause of Jesus Christ, the Lord and the Redeemer. And our prayers certainly are with you in this good congregation as you strive to do the biddings of Jehovah God. Good to see some whom we have known in past time, Brother Emmanuel Daugherty, Lewis Rushmore, and family. Just great to see those in whom we have been associated with in past times, and we do appreciate so much the works that you're doing with the school here. May God bless you and continue to be with you in that endeavor. Turn with me, if you will, your Bibles to the book of Amos, the 5th chapter. I shall begin reading at verse number 21. Amos, the 5th chapter. I will begin reading at verse number 21. The Bible has these words to say. I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assembly. Though ye offer me burnt offering and meat offering, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offering of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy song, for I will not hear the melody of thy vows. But let judgment run down as water, and righteousness as a mighty stream. Have ye offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? But ye have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and Chitim, your image, the stars of your gods, which you make to yourself. Therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. My responsibility this morning is to speak in regards to worship with no heart. The Bible says in Proverbs 4 and verse number 23, out of the heart are the issues of life. And certainly no doubt on this morning, our hearts are involved in everything that we put our hands, our minds, and our thoughts to do. It all depends upon the kind of heart that we put forward. Whether we are putting forth a dead heart, or a heart that is one of indifference toward God and the things of Jehovah God. It may very well be a cold heart, one that is distant from the God of heaven. It may be a passionate heart, one which has been quickened by the word of God Almighty and our love and commitment toward Jesus Christ and him crucified. God was having difficulty during the days of Amos with those who were bringing offering and worship unto the God of heaven. It was great difficult for God from the standpoint that their lives were lives of unrighteousness. And there were no sincerity of heart that emanated from their lives as far as the God of heaven was concerned. Righteous appearance and ceremony certainly are not alternative to sincere worship and personal righteous as far as God is concerned. In the days of Amos, Israel tried to worship God with a half heart. And as a result of that, it was so inconsistent with the will of God. And God set forth a scathing denunciation through that of Amos. As a result of that, we can see that God was much displeased with them. They were offering to God some of the best of the kinds of worship that they could present unto the God of heaven. They were worshiping God, certainly no doubt, with the fatted beasts and hymns of praises. But their hearts were far removed from the God of heaven. They were not serving God from a heart of love and a heart of obedience as far as God is concerned. And God does not say that Israel were not offering sacrifices unto the God of heaven, for they were. But they were not offering these sacrifices with hearts that were filled with passion as far as God is concerned. They were worshiping, but not worshiping God with sincerity of heart and the passion that was needed. Certainly we do live in a day and time ourselves when we worship and praise the good God of heaven, that it ought to be from a heart that is filled with passion that have been quickened as a result of the goodness of God toward us in Jesus Christ the Lord. God is served wholly, or God is not served at all. The Bible says in Matthew 4 and verse number 10, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. Israel were justifying themselves in the presence of God with a half-hearted kind of worship, and God was not going to have that. It was that way, no doubt, with Israel from the very inception. And God was displeased with that. They felt like they were doing the things in which God had called them to do, but they were only half-heartedly worshiping the God of heaven. Therefore, in his services unto God, Israel was satisfied, but they were not justified in the eyes of God as they would worship and praise the God of heaven. The Bible said, "This people draw nigh me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Israel worship unto God was an insult unto the God of heaven, because their hearts and their lives, as they would worship the God of heaven, was not consistent with the will of God. They were living unrighteous lives, and they had no desire to worship and praise God from a heart that was moved from the goodness of God toward them. And so they were careful to keep the Sabbath, and yet they would murmur under their breath as they would pause to worship the God of heaven. "When will the new moons be gone, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath day that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes?" Amos 8, verse 5 and verse number 6. No wonder God would say, "I hate the religion that you're presenting unto me." It was a mockery before the God of heaven, because they were not worshiping God in a way that God found favorable. Such pretenses of religion will always receive the condemnation of Jehovah God. Matthew 7 and verse number 21. "Not everyone that said, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father." No doubt those during the days of Amos, as they would worship the God of heaven with a mock kind of worship, no doubt felt like they were worshiping God appropriately. And yet they would be shocked when God would refuse their worship and praises unto him. They were certain that their worship and their offering was exactly what God wanted. Were not the burnt offering total that was totally consumed upon the altar representative of the total surrendering of the lives of Israel? And it certainly was not. Was it not the case in their mind that they believed that the peace offering portion that were presented unto God, to the God of heaven, were indicative of being in fellowship with God? But again, that was not the case. Their lives and their hearts, they had not surrendered unto the God of heaven. How many untold Lord's Day do we find sometime we come to the house of the Lord and our hearts are not totally surrendered unto the things of God? That our minds and hearts and disposition are so involved with the things of the world that we don't surrender our all to Jehovah God and his Son Jesus Christ. And so when Israel would come before God with their burnt offering and their peace offering unto the God of heaven, God certainly was not pleased. How could there be fellowship between a wicked people and a righteous God? Therefore, God is only moved to say, "Away with such things," and that he would have no part of those things. The psalmist says in Psalms 98 and verse number 4, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." There was no joy in the hearts of Israel. There was no joy as they would worship and praise the God of heaven. It was just half-hearted services rendered unto the God of heaven. Does God deserve to be worshipped and praised? He certainly does. But only from the lips of those who are desirous of serving and loving God to the very best of their ability. Sometime we sing that old spiritual hymn, "Is thine heart right with God?" Certainly it was not right during the days of Amos, as it would come and worship and praise God. And the song of Israel was so much noise that again God would say, "Away with it," and that God would have nothing to do with it. Therefore, it is indeed of the utmost importance that you and I, as sons and daughters of God, when we come into the presence of God, that we learn to worship God in spirit and in truth, and that we present our very best unto the great God of heaven in all that we do, in all that we say in the presence of Jehovah God. What then does God want? God wants men and women and boys and girls who are sincere of heart and who have passion in their hearts as they worship and praise the God of heaven. I remember years ago as we were in Memphis, we had a teacher there who would always encourage us as preachers of the gospel. He would say, "Boys, put some fire in your sermon. I'll put your sermons in the fire." And I believe that application certainly is true when it comes to the house of God and worshiping God in spirit and in truth. We must worship God with passion. We must praise the good God of heaven with passion for all that he means to us and for all that he's done for us through Jesus Christ and him crucified. Somebody had said, and well said, if we are not careful as we worship and praise the God of heaven, if we are not careful, we will come to the house of the Lord and start worship service at 10:30 sharp and finish at 11:30 dull. If we're not careful, and certainly that is the case of the matter, we can be so particularly about time structures and starting on time. And sometimes we forget the heart that we are to bring to worship services and praises unto the good God of heaven. And so in studying the book of Amos, we come to see that Amos and those in the days of Amos that he preached to, heart was not involved in worship. Away with worship, we would say this morning, with no heart. Away with worship that has no passion. Away with the idea that we can render unto the God of heaven a half-hearted service. God would say unto us again, away with it, and that he would have none of it. Our conversion into Jesus Christ the Lord has brought such a tremendous change in our lives. It is so deep. It is so clear. It is so entire. It is so rich, it is so abiding that we are called new creatures in Christ Jesus. And because we are called new creatures and the new creation of Jesus Christ, does it not make sense this morning that when we worship and praise God, that we do so with spirit and in the truth? And in so doing, God certainly is pleased with our worship as we present it unto him, the great God of heaven. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily unto the Lord and not unto men. Colossians 3 and verse number 23. Whatever we are doing, whether it is living, it ought to be righteous living in the presence of God. When we come to worship God in spirit and in truth, it ought to be sure that we are worshiping the God of heaven with a passionate heart, and that we want to worship him and that we want to praise him. As it were in the day of Amos, their hearts have begun to be lukewarm. The Lord would say in Revelation 3 and verse 16, because thou art neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth. When there is lukewarmness in us, we do not have the capacity to be passionate in our worship and praises and adoration unto the God of heaven. God wants Christians whose hearts are on fire in worship and obedient and right living in the presence of God. Passion this morning, my friends, is priceless in our worship and praise unto God. It's almost like the old fella I heard about some time ago as I was reading an article. This old gentleman would come to church and he would always say, praise God, amen to God. And the deacons had been watching him over the months. And finally, one of the deacons approached him and said, we know that you are fond of cowboy boots. And so what we're going to do for the next 3 weeks, if you will not say, praise God and amen, we'll give you a pair of brand new boots. And the guy thought about that. He said, it sounds like a good deal to me. And so the first Sunday he came and they were worshiping and the God of heaven. And he was so overcome by the preaching, he jumped up and said, hey. And he thought about those boots and he sat down. The next Sunday the preaching was powerful. He jumped up again and said, praise. Thought about those boots and he sat down again. The third week after preaching and the worship was going quite well, he jumped to his feet and said, forget those boots, praise God and amen. That's the passion we need in the Lord as we worship and praise the good God of heaven, for he's worthy of all that we can present unto him. So we need the passion of Jesus Christ, the Lord and the Redeemer. We need the passion of Jehovah God, when the Bible said that God so loved We need the passion of Jesus Christ, whom says that we ought to worship the God of heaven in spirit and in truth. We need that kind of passion as we come into the presence of Jehovah God and his son Jesus Christ. Brethren, this morning God is doing great things in our lives, and he's worthy of praises and adoration as we lift up holy hands unto the God of heaven. And that ought to be reflective in our worship unto the good God that he is. We are saved this morning by the grace of Jesus Christ. We're saved this morning, and we find ourselves in Christian families, and we belong to faithful congregations of God's people, and we have the opportunity to worship and praise God in a country like this country of ours. That's something to be excited about. Something to praise God about and thank God again and again and again. How can we not worship God enthusiastically? Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10 says, whatsoever thy hand find to do, do it with all of thy might. And certainly that is inclusive of our worshipful experience in the presence of God and his son Jesus Christ and in one another. We dare not allow the religious world to out-worship us and out-praise us and outlive us as they worship within the confines of their vain religion and vain faith. And so we are passionate about worship. We're passionate about our praises unto the God of heaven. In our worshipful experience, passion is priceless. It is priceless in our prayer life. The Bible says the affectionate, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5 and verse number 16. The affectionate, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. That's how we ought to pray unto God. With fervent spirits and passionate hearts, knowing and understanding what God has done for us through Jesus Christ, the Lord and the Redeemer. We need to be zealous and enthusiastic in the house of the Lord. Aren't you tired of not seeing much happen in your prayer life and worshipful experience in the presence of God? And don't you want to see God at work in your lives? God is not dead. God is not sick. God does not even have a headache this morning. He is fine, and God is alive. And we worship him in that fashion. Therefore, we pray with the Spirit when we come in the house of the Lord to worship and praise the good God of heaven. Let us praise him as such when we come to the house of the Lord. I just believe this morning that worship is supposed to work for us. I believe that when we come to the house of the Lord upon the Lord's Day and Wednesday, that when we come into the presence of God and his son Jesus Christ from a world that has caused us to be so tight, and that our muscles and the tendons of our bodies are so tight, we're just like a cloth that have been wound tight and can be wound no more. And when we come into the presence of God, there ought to be an alleviation of that in the house of God and the presence of God as we worship him in spirit and in truth. That same God who parted the Red Sea and gave David the victory over the great giant Goliath is the same God that will meet us in worship in our prayer life when we're zealous about worshiping and praising God. Prayer should make the adrenaline exciting and moving in our being in worship and praises unto God. No wonder David could say in Psalms 122 and verse 1, I was glad when they said, come, let us go into the house of the Lord. I can hear Paul's prayer in Romans 9 and also Romans 10, when I believe that his prayers were that of passion, when he prayed for Israel and his brethren. I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren's sake. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that Israel might be saved, passionate in his prayer life. And I believe that we ought to be passionate when we approach the presence of the God of heaven as we offer great worship unto God. The psalmist speaks volumes of his love and passion for God in Psalms 119 as he talks about the laws of God. and the statutes of God and the commandments of God and the ordinance of God, fond of the word of God. And so when we come to the house of the Lord, we ought to be passionate in our study of the word of God Almighty. We ought to make sure that we are studying in a way that shows that we are passionate about what God has written, and that we believe those sage truths that come flowing freely from God's pages of inspiration. We ought to come to the house of the Lord ready to study the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ, the Lord and the Redeemer. Therefore, this morning, church, let us be passionate in our worship and praises unto the God of heaven. When we come to the house of the Lord and study God's word, let us make sure that we read it with passion, and that we learn it with passion, that we even try to memorize it with passion, and that we obey it and by all means try to understand the word of God with passion. Perhaps you come across the article that I read not too long ago, as it speaks volumes in regards to understanding. Says a preacher entered a Bible class as a lesson was in progress and asked who broke down the wall of Jericho. A lad answered, "Not me, sir." The preacher turned to the teacher, who replied, "I believe this is an honest boy. And if he said he did not do it, I believe him." Leaving the room, the preacher sought out a deacon and explained what happened. The deacon says, "I know the boy and his parents for several years, and I don't think he'll do such a thing." By the time the preacher had become so heartsick at what he was hearing from his teachers and students that he reported the incident to the elders. Their response was this: "We see no need in making an issue out of this thing. Let's pay the bill for the damage to the wall and charge the upkeep. Our insurance will cover the cost." Don't miss the point, my brethren. We need to be passionate in our understanding of God's word and understand what a thus saith the Lord is all about. If we don't understand God and his wonderful and precious word, it's going to be exceedingly difficult to worship him with passion and sincerity of heart. Now, that was not happening during the days of Amos. And the people were so glad to get into the presence of God and dismiss themselves so quickly. And they were not able to understand these wonderful truths of Jehovah God. In the book of Genesis chapter 47 and verse 6. Do you recall when Pharaoh had allowed the boys of Jacob to dwell in a place called Goshen? And when they and their father had come to the area, how that Pharaoh says, "Look out among you and choose men of activity and have them to look over my flock." And that's what happened. He wanted men of activity. When we come to the house of the Lord, we need men and women and boys and girls of activity who are going to engage their minds and their hearts and the very essence of their being as they worship and praise the good God of heaven. When we come into the presence of God, we ought to worship him in spirit and in truth. Job says, "Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Job 23 and verse 12. Bible study ought to have a tremendous impact upon us in the body of Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. As Paul talks about the power of the word. And when we can study God's word with passion, and when we can pray with passion, God is certainly going to be more and more inclined to hear what his children has to say unto him. So we certainly want to engage this morning in our singing with passion. Ephesians 5 and verse 19. Colossians 3 and verse 16. Young men of the gospel who are studying the word of God here, you ought to desire to preach with passion. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21. "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching that men are saved. In the house of the Lord, when we come to worship God in spirit and in truth, we have to give with passion. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 1 and verse 2. We ought to take the Lord's Supper remembering the passion and suffering of Jesus Christ, the Lord and the Redeemer. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20 and verse 7. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23 to verse number 26. When we come to the house of the Lord, if we are going to worship God and put our time into worship, we ought to do it with passion. Since we're here, worship God in such a way that God can certainly say unto each of us, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Religion certainly ought to mean volumes to us in the house of the Lord. Our worshipful experience in the presence of God ought to be one that God acknowledged. Yes, Amos would say, it's more than the burnt offering that is acceptable unto God. It is more than the peace offering that is acceptable unto God. But that God desire the incense of true and loyal hearts committed unto him. I believe the whole lesson of Amos is about services rendered unto the God of heaven. And it is somewhat a fitting prelude to James chapter 1 and verse 27. Where James says, pure religion and undefiled before our God and Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. When we come into the presence of God, our lives ought to be clean and adorned, that we can worship and praise the good God of heaven to the very best of our ability. To the question, just how much injustice and wickedness can a nation endure and still survive? Is there a limit? To what degree can the home be degraded and the courts of our land and the legislative halls be corrupted and financial institutions be defrauded? How many of our youth must continue to give over to vices and degradation of life? How many thousands of prisoners that must we continue to support? How much can a nation endure before the justice and judgment strikes from Jehovah God? And so as we look to the great God of heaven and all of his goodness and mercy toward us through Jesus Christ the Lord and the Redeemer, you and I ought to rejoice in the presence of God. And that our lives certainly ought to be one of righteousness and sincerity of heart as we come into the presence of God. There is a worship that God hates. A worship where there is no heart. A worship where there is no passion. A worship where there is no right living. In God we trust is a noble motto. Yet it is absolutely meaningless unless we seek to live righteously before the God of heaven. The Bible says, for the grace of God hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. And my friend, where there is proper and approved worship, God will most certainly receive. And he will bless the sincere worship that lift up worship and praises unto the good God of heaven. God is looking for men and women of activity to come and worship and praise the good God of heaven all the days of their lives. May God bless us. May God strengthen us. And may God challenge us toward this good end as we live and move and have our very being in Jehovah God. May God bless us toward this great challenge. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Marcus, for a great lesson. Sounds like you have some fire in your bones today. We appreciate your being here and helping us. I find it very difficult to understand.